proclaiming out. I want to sing a new song. Shout it out louder than before. Let the whole earth sing. Let the whole earth sing. It's a song of praise. A song for all of the redeemed. Let the whole earth sing. Let the whole earth sing. Never the same. He's taken my chains. This freedom in Jesus. Power to save. Let the whole earth sing. It's a song of praise.
seated if you'd like. I wanted to share something with you. If you'd like to be seated, you're welcome to be seated. So I had prayer probably 2 weeks ago or so for a family that goes to my mother's church. He was the one that was sent to hospice and told, you know, he didn't have much longer to live. I think he's in his maybe early 50s, and he got cancer that spread. He's got teenage children, and he wasn't given much hope. In fact, his daughter finally talked him into one last treatment, but the doctors came back and said, you know, it would be pointless. Your body's not going to be able to take the treatment, and it would not do any good. So they sent him to hospice. This was right during Easter, because it was, I was at conference, the youth conference, when I had heard this. And I had gotten a text, actually, and right there I just started praying. And I cannot explain the, not that I was doubtful, but I do know that we serve a God that still heals. But sometimes, you know, I mean, that's some pretty big news, and that is definitely a miracle. I know God can work miracles, but I think the flesh in me was kind of like, my goodness, you know, more praying for comfort for the family than for healing at that point. And I was checked immediately, like checked. You are doubting. You have, you know, do you not believe that I can still heal? And so I did. Right there, I just started praying, and I felt like, from what I'm hearing, a lot of people that had that same attitude, I guess, that same mentality, that they were found more hopeful in his recovery and in his healing. And so they still hadn't had much good news. He was sent to hospice, but then he was released. All of a sudden, he started being able to eat again. And he's been released back to his family. And they are seeing improvements. They are saying they can start treatment again, and whether or not he's going to go with that or does, I don't know. But, I mean, God is still healing. Right. Yeah, I was so encouraged when I got that text last week. I'm just like, and I know that in his name that there is power, that he still heals, that cancer even bows, that there is restoration, that there is healing of all sorts. And I am thankful for his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
What can shepherd man?
glory, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever God you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory.
Yours is the glory.
wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Can you call out his name? Oh, Jesus, we love your name, God. There is power in your name, Jesus. There's salvation.
Hallelujah. If we get to stand at this time,
there is victory.
Right before we're going to ask the ushers to come,
there is healing in your name,
I believe
Jesus.
We all need to stand in his presence in this place right now. I believe there's a certain level of reverence that he is due today. Lord, Lord, we come before you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, forgiveness for not honoring you and reverencing you the way that you deserve. In Jesus' name, Lord, you're the name above all names. At the mention of the name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, may your people that are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face, Lord, and reverence that name that is above all names, Lord. Hallelujah. God has inside you to be stirred up right now at this moment.
Hallelujah. The power that's in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We speak your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Sitting next to one of my kids one night this week, and I saw a brokenness inside her, and it hurt me as a parent to see the brokenness, one of my daughters. But I said, that's the evidence of God's presence being so near to you right now. He is near to the broken heart. If we allow ourselves to be broken, and the evidence of God is so strong, I can't explain what he's doing, and he's already in this place, and he's actually moving up and down the aisles. If you need a touch of him this morning, don't let him pass you by. Reach out and grab him and say, Lord, I need you. I need a touch from you. Lord, I am desperate from you. I need something that I cannot leave this place today without you today, in Jesus' name. It's okay for brokenness. It is so necessary for us to be broken at times, for God to touch us the way that we need to be touched. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Have your way, have your will in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for that name that is above every name. Hallelujah. We thank him with a hand clap of praise in this place. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time to receive this morning's tithes and offering.
He's good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, why don't you just lift your hands? Why don't you lift your voice? You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We serve an awesome God. I've been somewhat ruminating, if you will, musing over what Brother McFarland preached on, if you will, Wednesday night during our missionary service. And he talked about some intellectual stuff, if you will, but one of the things that kept jumping in my mind is that all the stars, he calls them by name. Billions upon billions upon billions of stars. He knows them all by name. My little finite mind, pea brain, if you will, I can't really conceptualize a God that knows the names. He named the stars. Billions upon billions upon billions. We have names for them, even constellations, that sort of thing. We recognize on some intellectual level the heavens. Then I thought about this. Billions of people lived upon the face of the earth, billions upon billions of stars, names of people, names of stars. But God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of that name, things in heaven, every star, billions upon billions upon billions of stars, at the mention of that name. Wow. I can't even scratch the surface of how great my God is. What is my little need? What is my little thing, my little issue, my little desire, my little... What is that in comparison? We serve a wonderful, amazing God. How can we just take a few moments and acknowledge? Your name that is above every other name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you're standing and grabbing your Bibles, I want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. I do want to announce that there is high school graduate among us. Sister Allie Kreger is going to be graduating from Sandwich High School today. And so we congratulate you, Sister Allie, on your graduation. A milestone in the life, I asked Brother Tom earlier, I said, how you doing? He said, I guess okay, I have my moments. I can only imagine. I got a few years to go before I have to watch one of mine in cap and gown, but I can only imagine the sentiment and the feelings associated with that. Congratulations, Sister Allie, on your accomplishment graduating high school. You also want to say thank you. I know many of you have helped support and gotten behind Brother Mason Duell as he is endeavoring to raise funds for going on a missions trip. And one more event, one more opportunity for you to help out and fill your belly at the same time. Saturday, the 27th, at South Moon Barbecue here in Sandwich. A portion of the proceeds for that day are going to go to help supporting Mason and his trip to it's Austria, correct? Austria on a mission trip. And so you got to eat. Amen? And you might as well go someplace that's good, and South Moon Barbecue is good. And you can go supporting a good cause, which is Mason being able to go on the trip. And so all those things together, we would encourage you to go and try to make yourself available on that day to go and eat. And as I said, the portion of the proceeds will go towards that. Then tonight, 6 o'clock, Revival by Design training. I encourage you to come be a part of that. We will have the handouts, the material necessary. And yes, if you're counting, I am pulling triple duty today, teaching this morning, preaching now, and then I'll have Revival by Design tonight. But that's okay because I'm going on vacation. And I'm trying not to be in vacation mode already. You know, it's less than a week away and chomping at the bits, all that good stuff. But thank you to all those that are going to stand in, and everything's going to progress as normal. I realize there are many that are going to be out next weekend for Memorial Day. Thank you, Brother Tom, for being willing to step up. Sister Chris, for helping us in that. And if you're here in town, please make it a point to be in church, even though pastor's not going to be here. I know some pastors hesitate to tell their folks that they're going to be gone, but I'm going to be gone next two Sundays. Not going to be here. But hopefully, if you're in town, you are. And June 4th, Pentecost Sunday, Reverend Davis is going to be ministering for us in that service. We're looking forward to that. So just a lot going on. There are other announcements that are up on the slides, and hopefully you're seeing that before service and in between times. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Hosea. I'm going to give you a few moments to find that. Got up on the screen yet? Because it's not coming up on my iPad yet. I know it's Hosea. I'm just not sure what chapter yet.
14:5.
There you are. Hosea chapter number 14. I was going to say 4, but I'm glad I didn't because it's 14. I knew a 4 was in there somewhere. Hosea chapter number 14. We begin reading in verse number 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall receive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk therein, but the transgressor shall fall therein. I want you to look back at verse number 8. Prophesying blessing and prosperity. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? What do I have to do with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Help the Lord, I want to preach you upon this subject. The fruit is found in him. The fruit is found in him. And we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. Your presence in this place this morning, God. I thank you for these precious people. I have opportunity to preach your word, Lord. I pray that I do so with courage and conviction, God, that touch the heart and the life, God, that we would all leave here understanding, Lord, that in you is where we find the fruit, where we are fruitful people, God, and where we are successful in life. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The fruit is found in him. Verse 22 of Genesis chapter 1, God for the first time speaks to his creation and says, and God blessed them saying, be fruitful. Then just a few verses down in verse 28 of that same chapter, God speaks to man and says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. Skip ahead a little while, you'll find that God destroys the whole world with water, save Noah and his family. And after the waters dry up and the dry land appears and they unload the ark, Noah builds an altar. And the first phrase God utters in blessing to Noah after the flood is found in verse 1 of chapter 9. And God says in Genesis 9:1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful." God changes Abram's name to Abraham. God tells Abraham in Genesis 17:6, "I will make thee exceeding fruitful." Isaac blesses his son Jacob and says, Genesis 28:3, "God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful." Jacob, as he blesses his sons, makes this statement concerning Joseph in Genesis 49:22. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches shall run over the wall." Then Joseph, as he has a child in Egypt, and Joseph names his son Ephraim, which means double fruitfulness. He says, Genesis 41:52, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Before the first book of the Bible is even over, fruitfulness is one of the most relevant themes. God telling his people and it being passed down from generation to generation, the blessing of God, be fruitful, exceedingly fruitful, even in affliction, be fruitful. Be fruitful, fruitful. Have fruitfulness in your life. Be fruitful, as the Bible says. What does it mean? What was the Bible talking about in that, in the essence of the first book of the Bible, and telling them to be fruitful and to multiply? What was fruitfulness according to the Word of God? Well, mainly during that time, it had to do with possessions, had to do with servants and land and wealth, and most importantly, it had to do with the offspring to pass these things on to. To be fruitful and to multiply was, in essence, to reproduce, to have offspring, to have children. In order to be fruitful, there had to be multiplication. There had to be seed, if you will, that would spring forth. And that's why the promise to Abraham was so meaningful, because Abraham's wife, Sarah, was barren. God's telling him, you're going to be exceeding fruitful. So you can only imagine in that day and age, Abraham, who undoubtedly at that point in time was probably looked down upon others because he did not have seed. He was not able to reproduce, if you will, in the sense of being fruitful. And so this promise of blessing from God in order to be fruitful was something that he longed for, something that he wanted in his life. And he wanted to be fruitful. Out the Old Testament, you will find that it was a curse for a woman to be barren. Looked upon a woman who was unable to bear children as one who was cursed above all others. One who was not able to reproduce. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, she was looked down upon. She herself, we understand this, Rachel looked at her husband and said, "Give me children, else I die." Desire to be fruitful, the desire to present, to be able to present unto her husband offspring that he could therefore share with all his possessions and pass down from generation to generation. This thought of being fruitful and having things and having possessions, and this was something that was special. Hannah prayed so earnestly for a child that Eli the priest thought she was intoxicated. So desperate was her plea that she spoke the words, but nothing really came out. And he perceived that she was intoxicated, and she had to explain to him, "No, that's not the reason why I'm in such distress. Through me, my husband is unable to be fruitful. I can't bear children. I'm not able to have a child." We know the end of those stories, many of us, how that they did have children and they were fruitful and God blessed them. But in the Old Testament, being fruitful was all about what someone could present in a natural sense. How many children they had, how many servants they had, their land and their possession, their wealth, all of that would, if you will, present the picture of being fruitful. If an individual, if a family was a fruitful family, well, then they had many children and many servants and many herds of cattle and many possessions and much land, and they were considered to be fruitful. In their minds, fruitfulness was all that they knew concerning natural life. Being fruitful, reproducing offspring, having possessions. That was what fruitful was. I said all that to set it up for this. Then one comes on the scene that has nothing. Catch this. Has nothing of what it means to be fruitful in a natural sense. He had no children. Land, no possessions. Foxes have their holes, and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He had nothing. In their mind's eye, in their understanding, this man who talk about the blessings of God, this man who was a prophet, but he had nothing that would indicate fruitfulness in his life. Yeah, he had disciples, but they were not indentured servants. They were not ones that he paid. They were just willing followers. Those that would follow him. So in the grand scheme, or in the big picture of what it meant throughout the Old Testament to be fruitful and to multiply, well, this man would not be in any way, shape, or form the epitome of what that means. He didn't have those things. He wasn't fruitful at all in what we would consider, what they much considered as being fruitful in the natural sense. And that's interesting. Because you see, Jesus came to change many things. And one of the things that he changed was the perception of what fruitfulness really is. You see, even in our day and age, we measure success often by what somebody has, their possessions, or their wealth, or their abilities, or their influence. And we measure fruitfulness or success based upon one's ability, or even in a church sense sometimes. We measure the success of a pastor by how fruitful and how big the congregation is. And please understand, I'm not against those things. I'm not preaching against prosperity. I'm not preaching against the blessings of God. But what we need to understand is what true fruitfulness is. What true fruitfulness is in the mind of God. Yes, those things are nice. And yes, I love the fact that I have natural things. And I love the fact that God has blessed me with three wonderful children. And I love the fact that God has placed in my care and in my stewardship things in a church and a body of believers. I love that. And I appreciate that. But those things are not truly the mark of my fruitfulness. See, my fruitfulness is found in him. How much of him is in my life? How much of this one who had no possessions, who had no land, he had no natural offspring, but how much of him is in me? You see, that's what real and true fruitfulness is. And Jesus comes on the scene and he changes the paradigm. He comes into the picture. He has none of these things, but he begins to show what true fruitfulness is. He begins to show and reveal to all of mankind. He begins to reveal where you and I find fruit. Catch this. The rich young ruler, we know the story. He comes to Jesus and he says unto him, "Good master." And Jesus stops him. He says, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God." And we understand that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. We understand that as a man he was fully man, but in spirit he was fully God. We understand he is presenting to this man. You need to understand something. All the goodness that I am is because of God. I can do nothing, he said, save the Father allow. I am who I am because of who I am in. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. So we understand that Jesus is presenting what true fruitfulness is. We understand that the true fruit of who I am and who you are is not anything of yourself. The goodness that I have, the abilities that I have in the sense of being able to reproduce spiritually, that only comes from one source. Being fruitful
even as Joseph said, in the land of my affliction, being fruitful and multiplying is something that should be in each and every one of our minds concerning our walk and relationship with God. And if we are not producing after our own kind, if we are not producing seed, spiritual seed, in other people's lives, we are not being fruitful according to the biblical example. You and I will only find fruit in one place. James says it this way, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Yes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all the fruit of the Spirit. I don't find that anywhere else. True love does not come from any other source. True joy does not come from any other source. True long-suffering does not come from any other source. The fruit is found in Him. The only place where I find that in its true essence is the one who is what those things are. God is love. So the only way that I am truly reproducing, the only way that I am being fruitful according to the biblical example, according what Jesus made us to understand, is how much of God is evident in my life. Because the fruit is found in Him. If you and I are going to be what God created us to be, it will only be through Him. It will not be through another source. It will not be in another way. It is only going to be through God. Look at John chapter 15. Beginning in verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, there is no fruitfulness. Without me, you will not multiply. Without me, you cannot and you will not be fruitful according to the Word of God. It's only if I abide in you, if you abide in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I understand that is a type, that is a picture, if you will, of eternal damnation. That is a picture that Jesus is drawing. It's a mental image, if you will. It says, listen, if a man doesn't abide in me, if a man does not understand that the fruit is only found in me, if a man does not recognize that the only way for him to be fruitful is to abide in me, guess what? He's cast forth as a branch. He's pruned. He's cut off. And he withers away. Why? Because he has no fruit. Fruit is only found in one place, and it's only in a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot be the father I need to be without God. I cannot be. You cannot be the mother you need to be without God. I can't be the spouse I need to be without God. I can't be the coworker I need to be without God. I can't be the parent. I can't be the child. I can't play any role in life the way it should be played without God. The fruit is found in Him. I know this is not an awe-inspiring understanding, but every now and then we need to be reminded how it works. Every now and then we need our memory jogged that I can't do this without God. I cannot be who I need to be without a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. I cannot be who He created me to be. I will cease to be fruitful and I will not multiply without being in Christ, without involving myself in everything that He is, without allowing Him to be one who produces the fruit, because the fruit is only found in Him. I won't get it another way. All the self-help books in the world will not make me who I need to be. Say that again. All other relationships in my life will cease to be what they need to be without the most important relationship in my life, and that is with Almighty God. And if I do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that relationship is not growing and multiplying, I am biblically being unfruitful. Jesus said it this way, you will know them by their fruit. Doesn't really matter how high the branches reach or how big around the trunk is or how full the leaves are in the branches. What matters is whether or not there is fruit. Whether there is something that can reproduce. Whether there is something that has seed. Because without seed, there is no reproduction. Without reproduction, there is no fruitfulness. That's why in Genesis 1, 11 and 12, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. When someone receives the Holy Ghost, the seed is implanted in the soul, and it is his will that we produce by being fruitful. That we have fruit, that we bear fruit, that we show forth fruit worthy of repentance, that we show a changed life, that we reproduce from ourselves into other people, that we show, that we reveal, I'm more than just a trunk and a branch, I'm more than just leaves, there's some fruit that's found, and the reason why I have fruit is because I've come to an understanding that He is the vine, and I'm just the branch, and unless I am connected to Him, unless I abide in Him and He abides in me, I can't produce fruit. It's got to be in a walking relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way fruit comes. So I reiterate, I will not be who God has created me to be without fruitfulness. And the fruit is only found in Him. One of the greatest characteristics of a Christian is fruitfulness. Say that again. Maybe the term Christian is so used that it really doesn't have the tone that it... Maybe I should say it this way. The real mark of being a child of God is being fruitful. Is reproducing. God did not give me the seed. God did not implant in my soul the power of the Holy Ghost for me to keep it to myself. I know we say it all the time, but it is His intent, it is His will that we reproduce. That we invest ourselves, if you will, into the lives of others, that we have fruit, that we manifest fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit is reproduced in the lives of other people, that we are, by biblical definition, fruitful. And the only way that is through a walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. For the fruit is found in Him. We have to get rid of the notion that once we experience the plan of salvation, we are home free. And there is no more obligation for us. I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible says. We are to be fruitful and multiply. We are to, if you will, reproduce what God has produced in us. And we cannot reproduce unless God is producing fruit in us. And God cannot produce fruit in us unless we are connected to Him. There is no other place that the fruit is found. It's only found in Him. How important is this? Luke 3:9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Closing, you can stand to your feet. I read it earlier in the introduction. First book of the Bible is replete. Be fruitful. Exceeding fruitful. Be fruitful. Multiply, reproduce, replenish. Be fruitful. I believe that that same design be in the heart of every believer. That same desire to be fruitful. Lord, somewhere along the line, we've got to be so discontent with just make having our home ourselves. I'll say that again. Somewhere along the line, we've got to become so discontent with just making heaven our home ourselves. Calling an election, sure. Invest yourself in the things of God and the kingdom of God. But be fruitful. Multiply. Make it be. Let your prayer be, Lord, don't let me have a good night's sleep if I'm not trying my very best to reproduce in the life of someone else. I want to be fruitful. Here's the reason why we often fail to be fruitful as we should. Except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. Maybe the reason why we're not producing like we should is because we're doing so much living, so little dying. Say that again. No, it's not popular. But maybe we, myself included, maybe we're not producing and being as fruitful as we should be because we're so occupied with living. We're not doing enough dying. Because if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So yes, biblically, in order to be fruitful, there's got to be some dying. We're so self-consumed. We're so busy with our lives. We're so busy living, doing all that we do. We're failing, and I say we, as a church, we're failing to reproduce as we should. One of the reasons why, according to what I read in the book of Acts, why the church multiplied so greatly is because the people are all about the things of God. We're all about being involved in the kingdom. They're all about abiding in Him. And as a result, they brought forth much fruit. Here's my prayer this morning. Lord, as I have the opportunity to speak into these precious people, it's your will. From the very beginning of this great book that we read, you encourage, be fruitful. And Lord, I believe it is the same today. Be fruitful. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The same will bring forth much fruit. Oh, but Pastor, that means that I've got to put some of my self-interest aside. If you want to be fruitful, yes. Jesus came on the scene showing what true fruitfulness was. He didn't live it all for himself. He lived and died for others. Lord, help me see the example. The fruit is found in Him.
Less of me.
The fruit is only found in Him.
More of You and less of me.
I fear sometimes we're trying to reproduce, we're trying to multiply in our own human ability.
It's what I want the world to see.
Trying to be more eloquent, trying to be more presentable, trying to make things more palatable.
In everything I do.
But the only way they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good is if you and I have some fruit.
More of You, less of me.
These altars are open.
More of You.
Lord, help me to be fruitful.
It's what I want the world to see.
Let me multiply.
More of You.
Lord, what You've given unto me, God.
In
what You've blessed me with, Lord, let me bless
do,
others.
Bless
let me reproduce. Let me multiply.
And more of You. More of You.
Let me invest my time and energy into someone else, God.
More of You. Oh, it's what I want the world to see. More of You. In everything I do, less of me and more of You, more of You. I want there to be less of me, more of You. It's what I want the world to see, more of You. Oh, and less of me.
What more do we have anything to do with
more
idols?
Of You.
Why do we spend our time? Why do we occupy ourselves with other things?
More of You.
The fruit is found in Him.
In everything I do, less of me. And more of You.
Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel
more
of the ungodly. Standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord.
More
and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Less of me and more of You. It's what I want the world to see, more of You. In everything I do, less of me, more of You.
Can we make
You.
This our prayer?
More of You. I want there to be less of me, more. It's what I want the world to see, more of You. Oh, in everything I do, less of me and more of You.
All over this house, can we lift our hands? Help me, Jesus. The fruit is found in You. I'm going to reproduce if I'm going to multiply. It's only going to be through a relationship with You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Remember, Revival by Design, 6 o'clock tonight, those of you that are bringing light refreshments. Thank you for doing so. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.